Hey Siri, call Vladimir Putin.
Calling Vladimir Putin.
Live from Nixon's birthplace, Orange County, California, it's Bad Libs, the only podcast that's 100% certified libtarded. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Miller and Brendan Woodruff.
Hola, bienvenido al Bad Libs Podcast. Soy el maestro de ceremonias, Brendan Woodruff.
Hola, me llamo Zachariah Milleronsky, el 20th.
El 20th?
Is that how you say 20th?
The 20th?
Fucking, Spanish?
El viente, just the 20th.
Dude, I didn't know your Spanish was so good. Impressive, homie.
I know some Spanish. I had to think about that on my way here to make sure I got it right.
Yeah, I speak more Spanish than the average white-looking person.
Oh, fair enough.
But I don't speak conversational Spanish anymore. I'm a little rusty. I need to work on me.
Why are your levels so low? For some reason, your levels are incredibly low.
Because you're bad at sound teching?
No, now you're better. You're better. You're
better. Oh, okay, good.
I took 4 years of Spanish.
So did I, but I also like partied the whole time and did the bare minimum. I only took Spanish because it was the easiest language.
I took Ritalin all through high school. I chemically could not pay it. I like had to pay attention because of chemicals.
Oh no, they never got your boy on them pills, but they tried. Yeah, fucking tried.
Oh, and if you notice a difference in this episode and how it sounds, it's because it's our first in-person episode since the pandemic began.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
The Echoey Garage is back. That's What's right. up, y'all?
The Echoey Garage is back, but we also have like in real time audio, so the internet can't delay us or give us problems.
Oh, it's definitely advantageous for
sure. It's boomy, but it's consistent.
And I can try and fix that in post.
That's what's up. Welcome to the Bad Libs Podcast, everybody. It's always good to be here with you. We're going to be talking about a crazy couple of weeks in politics. We were off last week, I believe.
Yeah, just a heads up, this is going to be another freeform episode. I don't really have any notes. It's been, me and Zach have both been just real tied up personally, which is not a bad thing.
I've been tied up professionally and personally, I'm always tied up professionally and personally.
And let's jump into the podcast business. Obviously, you are listening to the Bad Libs Podcast. You can follow us on social media, at Bad Libs Pod, on everything. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast. I don't know. There's five other ones that we're on, so find us there. All our links are at badlibspod.com and all of that jazz, and we will be right back. Okay, we are back. So it's, as always, been a crazy couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's like probably 85 bullet points of current relevant news
that we can talk about
podcast. We're gonna stay big picture on the topics that we want to discuss because we're the Bad Libs. Beom, beom, beom.
Strip clubs, yes or no?
Yes. Absolutely. Shout out to all my girls working hard to fucking break through all the traps the patriarchy set for you. Fucking use what you got to get what you need. I ain't mad at you. Shake that ass.
No, critical race theory.
Critical Let's race theory. We need to talk about because clearly
it's no one knows what it is.
It's a trigger term that like people are totally throwing around without understanding.
Mm-hmm. And it's a moral panic word. It's a scare word.
It's like, yikes, watching people talk about some of these things.
Yeah, it's one of those...
Well, the only people talking about it are really white folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally black folks are stepping in. Mostly collegiate black folks, because I don't even think...
Average black people are like, what the fuck is this?
Nobody knows what it is. Yeah. And it does sound, on its surface, critical race
It sounds kind of scary,
theory,
doesn't it?
Sounds like something a Nazi would invent.
Yeah, it sounds kind of scary.
Like it's critical and it's a theory about race, which doesn't sound good.
And it's
on
also
face.
It's one of those things that right wingers can use as a scare word, like socialism. You know
what
I mean?
Right, right, right. So can you define critical race theory?
Critical race theory, what it actually is I don't want to use the word esoteric, but it's a like legal theory that is discussed among like lawyers, law professors, and like law students. And it essentially has to do with the idea is that there are laws in this country that are created racially neutrally, but have racist impacts. And it's a pushback against,
for instance, the three strikes law.
Yeah, or like, I mean, you could go back to like Jim Crow days, like
because whites don't get their first strike anywhere as easily as
yeah,
blacks.
Or like you know, like the poll taxes back in the day in the Jim Crow era. Those weren't written as black people have to pay money to vote.
That's just how it ended up.
It was just you have to pay money to vote, and it just happened to be that at the time, black people were by and large poorer than most
white
people.
So critical race theory is the study of the actual effects.
And it goes deeper, obviously. They take a lot of cues from Marx, and there's like the idea of race consciousness. So like a liberal idea for, I'm going to take an example. There's a YouTuber called T1J, who's a really good a black YouTuber. He just cut him out on a video like this. And he used a good example. Like take, for example, like hate speech. Like we don't have hate speech laws in this country. But a race-neutral hate speech law would be like, it is illegal to use speech that disparages someone based on their ethnicity or race, right? That's a race-neutral hate speech law. Whereas like a critical race theory hate speech law that is, you know, the goal being to eliminate racism in America, white-black racism, right, would be it is illegal to use hate speech against racial minorities specifically. Like that, you see the difference? Like that's a very simplified
example. But then racial minorities could use hate speech against whites, just not vice versa.
Right. In theory, that's like a very, very simplified example of like applied critical race theory. Obviously there's like free speech issues in there and that,
but
kind of
like
thing.
Every law, it's not about the law. It's how it's going to get applied
right.
in your situation, which brings a bunch of other variables.
Or like, for instance,
play.
Like one thing, like school desegregation, just having a law that says, you cannot exclude people from schools based on race doesn't actually solve the problem. You have to be more proactive. That's why busing was a thing. Busing is more of a race-conscious solution to segregation in schools. Busing was ultimately gotten rid of. So we still have segregated schools, even though on paper the laws are race-neutral and you can't exclude people from your school based on race, but because of the way neighborhoods are set up, way people have self-sorted.
And because the way the actual power structure mm-hmm. plays out from top to bottom.
Exactly.
It's like laws are just words on a piece of paper or in a computer somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's all about who's going to do something
so
about them.
That's my like layman's understanding of critical race theory. It's like a legal theory that's like discussed among academics. Now, the way right-wingers use it is just like talking about race and American history accurately. That's what they mean it. They just don't want to talk about race. It's like
it's like they're implying that teachers are going to teach our children things about our past that are not entirely true.
Yeah.
Like they're going to make white people in America look worse than they should.
Yeah,
basically.
Or you know, I see a lot of like,
and if you tell the truth,
you're blaming the kids for, you know, things that happened in the past. It's like, no, we're not. You're just telling them things that happened. Or there's always like the mythical classroom where like they told the kids to split up by race and pointed to the white kids and said, you're the oppressors, and the black kids. And we're like, you're the oppressed. It's like, when did that actually happen? What classroom did that happen in? I don't think that happened.
It's not happening.
Like, fuck you. It's also not, it's a fucking, like, it's a legal theory. You're not teaching this shit in like fourth grade anyway.
But it falls into the overall premise that like only people uncomfortable talking about racism are racists.
And it just becomes basically like it's talking about racism and American history.
It's like talking about pedophilia in the church.
You know,
the dudes touching kids clearly don't want to talk about that shit.
It's like how the scare word of socialism, which was like just the government helping people.
It's like closet homosexuality.
I mean, it's a new
being
red
scare. Weaponized against homosexuals.
Yes, and there's also it's a new red scare. You know what I mean? It's
all of it.
It's McCarthyism. It's, you did a conference with like this person who helped, was like an OG critical race theorist. Like, well, now it's just fucking McCarthyism. It's new McCarthyism.
It's poppycock is what it is.
And it's, I don't like it. Did you see
un-American?
Did you see Mark Malley, Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Malley talking about it?
I heard that the military dudes, the military has continued to step in on behalf of minority and trans rights because
they need bodies.
They need bodies, and
it's an all volunteer army.
And an obedient gay or transgender, a high quality obedient transgender soldier is just as useful to the military as a straight white male.
Yeah.
They shoot, they listen, they follow orders, they work good in their team. I don't give a fuck what's in between their legs. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, well, and here's the thing. The military,
'cause they're about results,
used to be very exclusionary because that was what the law was. The military used to be segregated.
And they used don't ask, don't tell.
No gays in the military for a long time. But that's not the way it runs anymore because it's an all-volunteer army. And in order to do that, you just need to take who's willing to go. There's no conscription anymore. So it's not like you can be picky because like you've got people who are being forced to serve all the time anyway.
Right. Well, if you're more accepting, it's better for your operation.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big tent operation.
Yeah.
You need Americans willing to fight for America.
Yeah, whoever.
It doesn't matter what they look like.
And
or
they had
who they have sex with.
They had fucking
else.
Mark Malley, who's the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I think that's his name, Mark Malley. General Mark Malley. He's the highest ranked person in the entire military that isn't the president.
Right.
Or the Secretary of State, technically. But like through the ranks of the military, highest ranked person. This guy was fucking appointed by Donald Trump. So this dude's probably not like a hyper woke communist or something, you know? And I forget who was asked. Was it Matt Gaetz or someone was asking some question about critical race theory? And he's like, yo, I got this. And he's like, I'm not going to pull up the exact quote, but he's like, yeah, we'll teach critical race theory at West Point. It's a fucking college, man. I've read Mao. I've read Lenin. I've read Marx. I'm not a communist, but like, I should be allowed to learn the theories that are out there. He's like, he said, I'm interested in white rage and I'm white. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm intellectually curious and I want my officer class to be intellectually curious. As
it doesn't,
well.
Just because you read the shit doesn't mean you're gonna sign on to every fucking idea contained therein. Yeah.
Can you imagine if we never studied Vietnamese guerrilla war tactics?
Yeah,
we thought they were the devil?
Yeah, or like through the entirety of the Cold War, not one single like intelligence operative read fucking Marx or something.
We don't have anybody in our military structure that understands Sharia law.
Yeah, like what is this stupid shit?
You know what I mean? It's
and then now that he said that, right wing pundits are like, we have to defund the fucking military. Like,
they're
nuts. It's wild.
You know what they are? They're enemies of the United States of America.
Just because he fucking was like, no, dude, I'm going to defend an open society.
They've proven with the hypocrisy of Blue Lives Matter, the hypocrisy of their support for the flag and the Constitution in general.
They will say whatever they need to maintain power.
They're not here to make the country better. They're here to fucking destroy the place, dude.
They're here. Well, there's a great op-ed in the New York Times.
And that was always the plan with Trump.
In their minds,
nothing's getting done.
Not trying,
just wreck the fucking place.
In their minds, they're not trying to destroy the place. In their mind, what they are trying to do is to prevent usurpers of real America from holding power by whatever means necessary. So therefore, aggressive
usurpers
tactics and cruelty.
Usurpers of the white male power structure.
Yeah, of rural America. And
I understand.
So therefore any aggressive action to get rid of the usurpers is justified.
Absolutely. And they don't understand or care about the collateral damage, which is why I'm saying they're just about burning it down and starting over because they think at the start over point, they'll still be the victors.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a reset, they win because they have more resources, more power, more land, more guns. Reset works in their favor. Period.
And it's really funny to me too that like these are the same exact fucking people that not 6 years ago when like Milo Yiannopoulos
erase all the fucking progression we've made.
Well, yes, they are trying to turn back social change 100%. But what I'm trying to say is, remember six years ago, like 2015-ish, Ben Shapiro, Milo Yiannopoulos were like doing college tours and getting protested all the time. Uh-huh. And it was like, fucking free speech on campus. You can't handle
Crowder
our ideas.
Was, and Stephen Crowder was doing now on the street comedy.
Now they're trying to fucking ban ideas from campuses. Like Florida is like requiring students and professors to take an ideological survey that's not anonymous. To make sure that there's ideological diversity in the colleges, which is straight up fucking Red Scare McCarthy shit, 100%.
Florida is the capital of the New South, bruh.
I know.
What was the capital in the Confederacy?
Richmond, Virginia.
Not this time.
No, Virginia's a blue state now.
I know. This time it'll be probably somewhere in Florida.
I mean, Alabama, Mississippi are still the strongholds of the Deep South.
I cannot believe how powerful Rick DeSantis has become in Florida. Oh, I underestimated him as a politician. His first commercial where he had his kids his baby boy building a wall out of blocks in his crib.
You know why he's so powerful, right?
I thought he was dumb and childish. He's a pretty savvy politician, and he's gained a significant amount of power.
He has. It's awesome because he has the entire state house in his corner.
I understand.
Yeah,
but he was able to get the entire state house in his corner, and
I mean that's also luck. They all won the same election.
Whatever it is, man. All I'm saying is,
but yeah, he's now,
he has a pretty clean grip on that demo.
He has been given an advantageous situation for his political ends, and he hasn't squandered it yet from his point of view.
Correct.
Yeah.
Again, you have to keep... I always try and keep in mind where this can go. And
he's going full fascist. Holy shit.
The opposing forces here have clearly drawn lines.
It's
in
like
the sand.
Legal to run over protesters in the street in Florida. Mm. It's wild.
Their bubble's not going away anytime soon, and his power within that bubble is significant.
If you can exclude people from the franchise, you know?
Well, they're just creating two Americas.
Oh, I know.
Both geographically, demographically, and eventually, potentially, legally.
Just like the old days. You had Jim Crow states and non-Jim Crow states.
I've been saying it this entire fucking time. Mm-hmm. A Russian-backed fucking and instigated...
Neo-Confederate.
Yeah, neo-Confederate revolution. It's not a civil war. It's a revolution against the new America, which has...
arose in the mid-20th century.
Illegally suppressed the rights of these Americans. They're victims... To the new deep state America that's corporate controlled and Chinese partnered, and we need the Russians to help us. And they're our friends.
It's extra, throughout history, it's well established that all of these racist policies, all the way from slavery up to Jim Crow and even now,
the only question
they hold back the white people too.
The biggest bet, if we're running the Bad Libs Casino and we're doing long bets, the bet I want to put on the board now is what happens first? Donald Trump goes to Russia to protect himself from the American people, or Vladimir Putin moves to Florida to protect himself from the Russian people?
I don't think either's like it. I think Vladimir Putin's going to die powerful.
You think he'll run it for another 20, 30 years?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in there for life,
dog. Dude, their fucking economy's dog shit, doggy. That's going to catch up to
him. You know how many dictators have fucking presided over terrible economies and held power?
That's a good point. At least fucking...
As long as the cronies are getting their money.
But the problem is that at least the ones who did that, the ones who, like, kept their people poor for generations and stayed in power...
As long as the cronies are getting their money, man.
They were upfront about the fact that it was a fucking communist republic with a supreme leader. Vladimir Putin's doing this all under the guise of Russia being a capitalist democracy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that play runs out at some point, and he can't switch and say,
we're fascist now.
We're fascist now, it's communism. Because his oligarchs aren't having it. His oligarchs... mini-garks aren't having it. Like, there's a rich class he needs to keep certain fucking things in play for that risk class to continue.
He can cut off the ones that aren't as necessary.
Yeah, but I think that hurts their his homies' businesses. And I think at some point, three or four of them oligarchs are going to go clickety-clack.
Like a palace coup?
All of it. I mean, dude, like he's playing like if you think Vladimir Putin's not accountable to anybody, you're fucking on crack, bro.
Power.
He's in a fucking very dangerous neighborhood with a lot of big bosses.
He's powerful,
and he's not a real earner himself. He keeps businessmen around him.
He's the richest man in the world
because of the oligarchs that do his business. If you don't have those men running those companies, you don't have those men going into other markets and cleaning other currencies out of other business deals. He's not that rich. He's only rich because of fucking his oligarchs.
I'm less convinced of the precarity of his power than you are.
I don't know. Well, I've spoken to some folks that are pretty well versed on it, and they think that's one of the main reasons Putin fucks with these Republicans and these American businessmen is because he's got to have his money somewhere if he ever needs to jam the fuck out of Russia when it gets too hot over there. Like, he's got real problems at home. Real problems.
Well, hopefully it works out. Hopefully, because, Alexei Navalny is kind of a Nazi, so they could...
And it's ever since you've told me that, and then I hear the mainstream media talk about him like some fucking freedom fighter, yeah. Like, for democracy and equal rights.
No.
I'm like, oh, God.
No, he's just a loud voice against Putin. That's all it is.
Kind of, right? Yeah.
Can you hear me some water?
You need agua? I gave you an agua. I don't know what you did with it.
Fucking right
bubblehead.
Anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. Anyway, we'll see how that plays out. And I don't even... What topic did this all come from?
Badly. Critical race theory.
Wow, we got all the way to Alexei Navalny from critical race theory.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like quote to say anything about it. That's pretty impressive.
I mean, other than like Russia should be for the white Russians.
Yeah, Alexei, that's the funniest thing about all this shit, man. And that is why I love you, and that is why I love Bad Libs, because we really apply context by asking questions and rambling baked.
Also this week, they announced that they had reached a somewhat tenuous bipartisan infrastructure deal that's like not a terrible infrastructure law. It's $1 trillion. It's not the full ass, but it's a compromise law.
Is it going to bring back those people that just got smashed by a bridge in D.C. last week?
No.
Yeah, it's really not.
No.
We should have passed a fucking infrastructure bill under Trump, grimy, greasy bastard.
Dude, had the number of times that Trump like tried to distract from the attention.
Infrastructure week,
and it always fell apart.
Like, anytime shit's bad, just say you're working on infrastructure.
Biden's been president for like 6 weeks, and he's like, we got one.
Yeah, I don't know about 6 weeks.
You know what I mean? It's been like 6 months now.
Right, and he had to negotiate, and
sure,
he had to
and
be
he
bipartisan.
Sacrifices.
And that's the fucking job of the president, dude. That's...
You're never going to be 100%. But Joe Manchin just came out today because Biden was like, it has to be tied to a reconciliation bill, right? Because this is, because they basically... Because originally the infrastructure bill had a very expansive definition of infrastructure. And they've kind of pared it back to like mostly roads and like electrical infrastructure and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And like retrofitting airports and buildings, and but he tied it to a reconciliation Democratic only bill because they get two reconciliation bills per year, mm-hmm. They only need 50-50 to pass, right? Joe Manchin just said on this week on ABC, so Joe Manchin says that he would support a reconciliation bill as high as $2 trillion. That is paid for by raising corporate and capital gains taxes without raising the deficit. So that is, I'm sure he's going to drive a really hard bargain and be a stick in the mud about a lot of things, but a $2 trillion price tag plus a $1 trillion price tag, that's a $3 trillion spending package. Mm-hmm. That's astounding. I remember after the first recession, like we were fighting over like $500 million on the stimulus. You remember that shit?
Not really.
Deficit hawking was so much worse.
But I do know that we've I'm not a like monetary professional or currency fucking wonk, but I kind of understand these things, and fucking we are pumping so many U.S. dollars
into the economy
into
right
the
now.
Economy.
It's wild.
And then
the interest rates are incredibly low. The prime rate.
And crypto's getting its dick kicked in right now.
I know. It's kind of funny to watch. A lot of people are losing money.
I have money in crypto.
But a lot of
I don't like watching it, but I know it's going to come back because sure. I believe in
markets
the fucking,
always spring back.
I believe in the product and the market.
I also enjoy just the humble pie of some of like the crypto bros who are like, this shit's infallible. It will never go down. And it's like, yeah, it's a fucking it's a market. Like
I looked at it like the stock market. If you could.
You hold for a long time and it's like a 2-decade payoff.
If you could put your Apple stock in a digital wallet and go buy cigarettes with it at some point. Because that's what you're going to be doing with Coinbase or whatever. It'll just be like Apple Pay.
One issue.
You can just buy shit straight from your Coinbase wallet at retail places.
One issue that my friend brought up for crypto, and this is a really good point. It's like, what happens? Like, let's say we just switch to crypto. Mm-hmm. What happens if there's a recession? How is there like some monetary policy that you can like restrict or expand the money supply like you do with the Fed? Because that doesn't exist with crypto.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It would just raise the value of crypto. And
that could be really bad. It could make recessions worse. It could make booms worse if you're not monitoring that
again,
shit.
This is why I'm not running for office. But
I mean, that's not an unsolvable problem.
I've never said, and I don't think anybody's saying that the crypto market should be the replacement for government issued currency.
I'm okay with it being regulated and like, yeah, if there's some way you can solve
China's
those problems,
already
it's fine.
Trying to
they're
convert
cracking down like a motherfucker.
Right, and they have a crypto they're gonna
a trackable crypto alternative.
That's right. Yeah. They're gonna put a crypto on the market to compete with Bitcoin and everything or whatever, the digital yen or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yuan.
And but China, they're just gonna make it directly reflective of the Chinese yuan, the actual government issued currency, which everybody knows they manipulate
anyway
at their own discretion, willy nilly. Constantly.
Yeah.
So
we were supposed to talk about infrastructure.
All right. Anyway, infrastructure.
Infrastructure. So what's really funny is Biden came out and announced like we got a deal. And so it was the logistics of it. It was 5 moderate Democrats, 5 moderate Republicans. Technically, you need 10 Republicans to overcome a filibuster. There were 11 Republicans who had signed on in theory before the deal was announced to agree to it. The minute the deal was announced. And Joe Biden was like, also, we're going to tie it to this reconciliation bill. Lindsey Graham was like, I'm out. Because he was going to find a reason to be out because like Biden wore like the wrong color shoe that day or something. You know, he was going to find a reason to be
out. Yeah, they're being obstructionist.
And so it's still tenuous. It still faces a long uphill battle to actually pass. But if it can get done. And well, here's the thing, too. If Republicans back out, like. I don't think that the 5 moderate Democrats are suddenly going to be like, oh, we don't support it either. And then at that point, you pass it through reconciliation, wait till next year, pass the $3 trillion reconciliation next year. And then, well, you've bypassed the Republicans for the whole thing. And they backed out of the deal. They said that they supported already. So, you know.
Yeah, bad faith, obstructionist kind of, politics this is, constantly. They'd rather see the place crumble than their opposition succeed
but
at running.
I will say,
it's always been the case.
If this does work out in the way that I described, that's some pretty good chess playing by fucking Joe Biden and the Democrats. I'm like, I really am like trying to reserve complimenting the dude because he does have some like he keeps trying to refund the police and it's like, fuck
well,
off,
you're
dude.
trying to.
I don't like praising the president too much, regardless of who it is.
Complimenting Joe Biden because you're scared of the far left.
No, not really. I'm not scared. We don't have much of a platform. I'm not worried about the far left.
I'm just saying, like, you can. Joe Biden's complimentable when he does good work.
Sure.
It's not like complimenting fucking Donald Trump for getting something done that he did nothing for. That just all he did was wave his pen, and it happened to be something good. And you want to praise him for that. In light of all his disgusting atrocities, Joe Biden is not Donald Trump.
Of course.
So, like, politically, I think it's okay to get back in the fucking mentality of when somebody works hard on something and gets a good result, they deserve praise.
Sure.
That's it.
So but also, I'm not like a huge Joe Biden. I've never been a Joe Biden fan.
You want to fight. You hate Joe Biden.
I don't hate Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
I'm fine with Joe Biden. Like, it's.
And why can't you compliment when he works hard and accomplishes?
I don't like complimenting presidents.
Fair. Are you a communist president?
No. I don't like power.
You want to live in a utopian hippie society?
Yes.
And listen, guy.
I'm kidding.
Not happening.
I'm just fucking with you.
Not happening.
I'm totally
you and your hatchet
you.
Will make it 2 days and fuck it.
I know. I'm fucking with you.
You won't enjoy any of your drugs.
No,
power structures to an extent
I'm totally fucking with you. I'll take Joe Biden over a whole bunch of people. 100%. But
listen,
what's the point
of having a fucking... What's our annual budget for the United States government? How much does the United States government...
Oh, off the top, I don't actually know.
It's a disgusting amount of money.
Yeah.
Trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
We need a competent structure running that.
Sure.
That's it.
Sure.
That's it.
I think he's doing a fine job
of being a competent executive,
of those things.
And I'll take that.
I'm also weirded out by some of the other policy suggestions.
Sure you are. We always knew he was going to play ball with the fucking Republicans. That was one of the main reasons he was here. That's why when fucking they stopped the fight after North Carolina and gave the fucking and all the moderates fucking just said, sorry, Bernie, get the fuck out. And we knew that.
South Carolina,
whatever.
Yeah.
After that happened, that was the Democratic, whatever it was, the primary was a fucking joke. It was the most undemocratic shit I've ever seen. They didn't let it play out. And I understand it's a primary and it's a party system, but like, barf.
Mm-hmm. They used to just fucking pick the guy. They didn't even have primaries.
I understand, you know? But that's what I'm saying is that that's clearly got to change.
Oh, I agree.
But there are people with greater knowledge of what's happening in this world than me that I think, and God, I fucking pray, have the interests of the Constitution at mind, and they realize the seriousness of the threat we face.
I don't think he
does. And they thought Joe Biden was the... I don't know if... I think he does.
Maybe.
I think people around him do.
I think there are people around him who do, yes. I don't know if he does.
He's old as fuck.
Yeah.
He's a politician, but I think people around him do understand the seriousness.
I actually, I do think there are people around him who
and
understand.
I think they also understand that part of being able to sell your agenda part of being able to sell your agenda is creating stability. If they fucking prod the enemy too hardly right now, or prod this fucking bubble of crazies
I disagree.
Trump made,
these people only respond to brute force.
You think it's like dog psychology? You make them show aggression and they pee down their leg.
They respond to like. I'm not saying that he should like be a dictator, but like they don't respond to appeals to liberal values.
And you know what? And unfortunately, that's their right.
I know.
They're American citizens too, and that's where like we have to find a fucking way to do this. We have to.
Yeah, you shunt them out of power, and you make the Republican
you
Party
protect,
politically irrelevant.
You protect the level playing field, and we vote. Yes.
Yeah, but you shut them out. You shut the party out of. You have to shut that wing of the party out of power. You make them politically irrelevant.
That part.
Yeah.
So I think that.
I think, look, I think,
don't, I
let
think
me, we've got off track. Let me just explain my point. I think that this bill is good. I think it's on a tenuous path and it might not pass. And I agree that, you know, if they play their cards right and are able to, if the Republicans can't do it, if they can't overcome the filibuster and they're able to get it done through reconciliation, that's rad. If somehow they're able to pressure Joe Manchin to do the filibuster, that's rad. But I'm reserving my praise until those things happen.
Fair enough. I agree. We're 6 months into this presidency.
Yeah.
So the everybody's big concern seems to be how Joe Biden's actions are going to affect the midterms, at which point he might hand the House back to the Republicans.
I think what he's doing,
which could be a big fucking problem.
It would be a big fucking problem. I think what he's doing is he's like giving this bipartisanship like a year. Gonna see if he can make it work in a year. If he can't, then, you know, probably at the end of the year, if this bill fails, he'll probably try and get it through in reconciliation form. We'll see if Joe Manchin plays ball. Then he'll get the second one done in during 2022, which will be really good for the midterm. And it could actually push it over in the midterm. Who knows? Or maybe he's not doing that plan. And I don't fucking know. But it seems like that would want to be what I would do and with the cards that they hold currently. You know, and if he's able to pull it off, then I will be like, fantastic job. But at this point, they're still at like step two.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What were we actually talking about?
Infrastructure.
Infrastructure?
Yeah. We're still talking about that.
Okay.
We're still actually on topic this time.
Well, I thought we went kind of broad stroke.
We came back. So that's where I'm at with Biden. If you were to like call me for a poll and be like favorable, yes, no, I would put yes at this point. Sure.
Good.
But you know, if he fails in these things, then I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Right. You're going to, I know it. These are turbulent times.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of stability.
Sure.
And I think that this shit is complexer than a motherfucker right now, bro. Like super complex.
Joe Manchin enjoys being at the center of attention.
I think that like hard and fast ideals are easy for pundits and podcasters.
Harder for politicians.
But for people who actually need to get the work done and have to keep, you know, it's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback, bro. You know what I mean? It's a lot harder to actually prepare for the game and win it. You know what I mean? Like, so unless you're out there chucking balls.
What are sports? I don't.
Anyway, you get the point. I'm saying it's a lot easier to talk the talk than walk the walk.
Sure. And I don't know. I'm just real skeptical. Like, okay, they came out with the bipartisan bill. Let's see if you can actually get Republicans on board, at which point, like, get it passed, and then I'll be effusive. At this point, my praise is reserved.
Fair.
All right.
Dude, praise is a strong word to encapsulate the conversation we just had.
Yeah.
Recognition of achievement.
No, I plan on fully sucking Biden off if he gets this done. I'm going to find him and put my mouth on his penis.
In or around it? He's going to put his penis in or around
in
your mouth?
In or around my mouth. I mean, it might just graze the cheek if
he's going to put Joe. He's going to put Joe's special sauce in or around your mouth.
I'm going to gargle his Bidens, you know.
We were just talking
Joe,
about.
The shaft is Joe and the balls are Biden's.
We were just talking Joe about Biden. That classic line, I'm going to put Sesson sauce in or around her mouth. That's a classic line.
Yeah, from Star Superbad.
Correct. Correct.
In or around my mouth. Yeah, mouth.
You're going to put Joe Biden's penis in or around your mouth.
In or around. Might hit the ear. Who knows?
Yeah, whatever, dog. I'm going to just be there taking pictures.
All right, next topic is the filibuster, which kind of dovetails. It seems like it's probably not going to be blown up, but who really knows?
Yeah, I mean, the history of the filibuster is like long and bullshitty. And it's one of those things, it's only good for the minority rule, for the minority party, which
is also why it's never been gotten rid of.
The Democrats are placing a big bet that they'll never be in the minority again.
I've thought of this. Blowing up the filibuster will have consequences. It will. However, I think that if you get rid of the filibuster and you pass like an agenda on a party line basis because your party's in the majority, I think that then if the bill is unpopular or if you lose support over it or whatever happens, you can't defend it and you lose your majority in the following election, then yeah, you fucking lost the majority and the next party is going to get rid of that shit. Like that's how politics should work in my mind.
But then how do we maintain consistent legal structure?
I mean, we have a common law system that isn't really touched by the legislature, so that's not going to change. It'll mostly be like those big ticket, like most of the laws aren't going to fucking change. It'll be like, you know, it'll be like this. Let's say like you pass the Civil Rights Act in 65 and no filibuster exists. Then like you would then have to run on like, hey, no, actually we should fucking do, I don't know. You have to run on the strength of your bills, actually.
And like, it makes people more interested probably in voting, which is good.
Yeah, you actually like, oh, we have to defend this bill.
But like, also, do laws even matter? Because when an executive like Donald Trump gets in the White House, they just fucking...
Laws are just words on paper.
Yeah, they just do executive orders and create chaos. It's about which words people are listening to and acting upon.
Laws are just words on paper that people can interpret how they want. I mean, that's kind of the flaw in the system, but it is better than like... rule of absolute one man, you know, rule of law. At least there's some kind of thing you can turn to. Like, let's look at the book. What do the rules say? You know?
Right. No, no doubt. That's the idea.
Anytime you do that, you can be like, well, I think this word means this. Well, I think it means this.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
That's why we have judges.
Yeah. And that's why we have...
That's why we have judges who are able to render a final decision. Even if it's wrong, it's fucking final.
And God willing, we have a military that has some concept of our Constitution, because at the end of the day, they're the what are you going to do about it.
I'm not arguing that it's a perfect and flawless system. Please do not get me wrong.
But that's why countries, when democracies fall, the military often becomes the government structure, because they're the ones that'll fuck you up at the end of the day.
They're the ones with the guns. Power comes from the guns. Ultimately.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
We're going to do something about it. We have troops with guns.
We hold the monopoly on violence, not you.
Yeah, exactly.
The state's monopoly on legitimate
violence. At the end of the fucking day, that's what's up. And it's sad, but that's facts, dude.
Oh, the other thing, we were talking about Mark Malley's testimony earlier that kind of reminded me. It was heartening to see him do that because, you know, half of the Republican Party is like, has wet dreams about a new civil war, and at least they won't have like the big top smart strategic minds on their side. They might get like a portion of the grunts, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe a few generals there. I mean, like Flynn, I'm sure there's a couple of generals who are Flynnish, but seems like the real big boy pants wearers in the military are not down with this shit. So that's somewhat heartening.
Somewhat heartening. And also kind of indicative of a structure that actually has and respects history.
Some sort of meritocracy to it, even if it's still...
Right. And also people like Mark O'Malley learned from men before him.
He went to fucking Princeton. He's an Ivy League guy.
Yeah. I mean, and good for him for laying down that thing about...
But I just love he has to like... Yeah, I've read Mao. I'm not a communist. Like, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is going to just be a fucking communist.
But also, like, what is this? Fucking V for Vendetta, bro? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Adam Sutler, or Adam Susan in the book.
And it's all just propaganda and brainwashing and fucking...
Political theater. You get to grandstand. That's kind of half of what the hearings are anyway.
It's not even about trying to understand what it means. It's just about getting people pissed off.
Riling like, people
it's
up.
It's just red meat. It's just more red meat for the fucking people.
But anyway, the filibuster is going to be interesting. Joe Manchin in a leaked tape from a secret meeting.
Excellent.
What basically it was like a all hands on deck call with a moderate super PAC called No Labels. That's like a mix of like moderate Republicans and Democrats.
Uh-huh.
And in the meeting, he was like, you guys have to help me get Republicans to support. If it was like the January 6th commission or something like that, in order to defend the filibuster, because if there's a few more things that happen and Republican, it's going to be harder for me to take this stand. And he basically was like, because I'm open actually to changing a couple things about it, just not getting rid of it. So like, we could see some changes to it, possibly, unless, you know, also, but Kristen Sinema has also drawn a pretty hard line. So if you flip Joe Manchin, but not her, it's still moot.
Right.
So it could.
But flipping Joe Manchin puts a lot of pressure on her.
It does. And she seems to both enjoy the attention, but also not like being criticized.
Right.
In a way that Joe Manchin doesn't care.
And also realizes that she still has to be an effective senator.
What's wild to me,
for her constituents, one way or the other.
What's wild to me.
Can't just hide forever.
What's wild to me, too, is like her argument is like, I'm running in red state Arizona. Like, I have to win in Arizona. But like,
I have to be a Republican. I'm in a Republican state.
No. The other senator from Arizona is more liberal than her, and he's doing fine.
Yeah.
In terms of his popularity, he won. Like, also, he's like a fucking national hero. He's like astronaut soldier man, but, you know, still.
Yeah, and she's not. She's scab politician lady. So
it's just,
know,
it's her story. Ratings. It's disappointing that she's the way she is, because like her story, like you would hope she would come out more progressive at the end of her life story, where like she was homeless for a chunk of her youth and shit, but she didn't. She sold out for the money.
Business, motherfucker. But we'll see. Business has a, you know, that's one of the fun things about capitalism, is it has a way of figuring itself out over time.
Except for the climate.
You mean with climate change?
Mm-hmm. Hasn't figured that out.
Why'd you do that to me?
Why?
Why'd you just bring up climate right now? Well, it's hot as fuck, bro. And we're heading into wildfire, you know, season with no water.
You know, it's wild.
It's going to be great.
Well, there's that. But also...
luckily, most of the state burned last year.
This is this is like the warmest year in a decade.
It's everywhere.
It's also going to be the coolest year of the following decade. Something really loud just popped in the room.
No, that was a fly heading to its death in my fly snapper trap in my garage.
So
flies are coming. That's
next
sure.
year's going to be hotter.
Yay.
The following year's going to be hotter. You might have a dip like for 1 year that's like, oh, it's only as hot as it was in 2019 this year.
You know where it's not hot? By the beach.
Mm-hmm. You know what's actually surprising? It's cooler here than it is in the Pacific Northwest right now.
It's dude, and Pittsburgh's weather is way different than it used to be. Pittsburgh has a much milder climate than it used to.
Oh, weird. In Seattle, it got up to like 106 in Portland, like yesterday.
And nobody has AC up there.
Yeah, it's really not common.
It's
at least
that in San Diego. Even a lot of rich people don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, at least in their homes. I mean, you might see it in like the office buildings and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you can get like, you know, there's going to be a rush on those fucking portable air conditioners and shit, trying to cool down rooms.
Window units and shit?
All of it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we're going to have to evolve and survive. I mean, as catastrophic weather events are just part of the game now, bro. As is fucking mass shootings, gun violence. They're not going to get 300 million guns off the street. They're not going to reverse fucking climate change.
Nope.
Just get ready to fucking live in a different world, dude, and try and keep a smile on your face with some herb. For realsies. But we've always lived in a dangerous place.
No, I know. The world's always been full of injustice and suffering.
Yeah. So, you know, take it a day at a time and work
just
towards...
Just put on a happy
Bad Libs, depressing comedy.
So let's close out. Trump held his first rally in Ohio this week, like yesterday.
How did that go?
I mean,
was it like the redneck rave in Kentucky where somebody got their throat slit?
No one died.
These people want to kill so bad they're gonna start killing each other.
No one died, thankfully. But yeah, it was a Trump rally. There's just a ton of wacky shit going on.
How many people?
Pretty big crowd, but it wasn't like an arena.
What was the venue?
It was an outdoor venue between like a grain silo and some other building.
We didn't get a number count on that from the Bad Libs newsroom.
I
mean, it's relevant. His numbers are relevant.
Shit.
I was watching a documentary about fucking...
actually, rally sizes don't really matter.
No, like, and your numbers can drop over time. Did you know that Boys to Men were the highest grossing, highest ticket selling group of all time in the 90s? And then they took a break, and when they came back, all they could book was a 500-seater?
Yeah, music had passed by them.
I know, and Trump's politics may pass him by.
I doubt it.
I know, right? Pro wrestling is just getting more popular in this country. Pro wrestling and reality television have just gotten more popular. So, yay.
I don't know. It wasn't a full arena. Like, it was less than 10,000 people.
Okay. But a big party.
Decent crowd. But yeah, he couldn't read his speech. There's clips of him like stumbling over his teleprompter and fucking shit up.
Yeah, he's a mushmouth, bro. He's been a mushmouth for a hot minute.
He's losing it. He's not as sharp as he was 5 years ago, for sure.
You think?
Marjorie Taylor Greene called AOC, A Little Communist.
So she's a fucking nut job. Did you see that speech she gave about going to the Holocaust Museum?
Yeah, right.
The fucking moonwalk she did about the Jews?
Yeah.
But not, but...
I just love it, you guys.
Still playing the game, doggy.
I just love you guys. I am a regular person, and I had like never heard of the Holocaust before, and like now I know nothing's comparable. What stuck out to me was she said, like, many Jews and also children were killed.
She's a fucking bobblehead.
Yeah, but she called AOC a little communist, and then AOC tweeted it and said, first of all, I'm taller than her. There's all these pictures of her, like everyone fucking towering over this like 5 foot nothing lady.
Yeah,
she's a tiny, angry, bitter woman.
Let's, you want to be juvenile? Let's start off juvenile. Now watch some grown shit.
Also, Joe Rogan is 5'7". I am taller, a foot taller than Joe Rogan. He's a tiny man.
Yeah, but he would fuck you up.
I mean, he's got a lower center of gravity, but I could do the cartoon
he's
thing.
He's got a lower center of gravity.
I can do the like, cartoon thing where I hold his head and he tries to punch and he can't reach my body.
He has a lower center of gravity, way more muscle, and like 3 black belts. He would fuck you up. Don't ever get in a physical confrontation with Joe Rogan because...
Damn, that's on my bucket list, bro. You're like, what are you doing?
A foot taller than him.
Beat Joe Rogan in a fight. Like,
you're
it's on my list.
Lose. I don't want to see you get beat up by Joe Rogan.
Well, he is going to have his fist and I'll have a pipe.
You still lose.
No, I'm kidding. I don't want to fight Joe Rogan. He's just...
I love Brendan's... Every once in a while, Brendan has violence fantasies. I do them way more often, usually about Donald Trump or Junior or Stephen Miller or somebody like that.
The reason I think it's funny that people are making Joe Rogan, fun of Joe Rogan because he's short, because he's so very clearly like... You know, he projects such a like masculine, tough guy imagery.
Alpha King. Yeah. The alpha kings are always little guys.
And it's like, dude, you're like
a
Napoleon tiny
complex.
Man.
It's nothing new.
This is fucking, it's just funny.
Oh, I think it's hilarious too. I've never thought Joe was that funny. I think I'm impressed by his accomplishments.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's.
He does have skills. Like he is, you know, he's engaging on stage.
I don't think he's undeserving of his accomplishments. I think he's earned them fair and square. My point is that I've never thought he was much of a comic.
He's fine. He appeals.
I've seen him perform
to a certain type of people.
Eh.
Yeah, he's
compared to other comedians with his type of fucking stature.
Yeah, no, he's true. He's this is what I'll say about Joe Rogan. He's a guy whose platform got much larger than his intelligence.
Well, that. But also, like his path to success was.
Bonkers. Yeah.
I mean, dude, the way things flipped for him after fucking the Mencia thing, the whole industry, I mean, and you understand why he's doing what he's doing now with his power.
Mm-hmm.
When the industry had the choice to choose Joe's side or hack Mencia's side, they chose Mencia over money, straight up money.
Yeah,
and
well, I mean,
years later, Joe's the biggest thing since sliced bread, and he's like, fuck you. None of you are getting any of my money. I'm moving to Austin. I'm starting my own thing.
Well,
and I get that.
Well, hang on. Well, also, moving to Austin, self-serving, he did it only after he was paid like $500 million or some shit.
Of course it was self-serving.
But hang on. Listen to what I'm saying. His career path, I mean, what? He got into the comedy scene in Boston in the 80s? Like, yeah, man, he was always going to be successful. That scene produced a million people. That are huge now, you know.
Yeah, and Stanhope with the Man Show,
and yeah, and he
and fucking Fear Factor.
Well, no, he started on News Radio, man.
Did he?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He was on News Radio, like it's like him with hair as like a young guy actor. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was on, or was it the sports one? Was it Sports Night or News Radio? One of those. I think it was News Radio. I don't think it was Sports Night. Sports Night's the Sorkin show. I don't think he can handle Sorkin dialogue as an actor.
Fair enough.
But
I didn't know that.
He was on News Radio and then he got Fear Factor. And then from Fear Factor, that was what really built up his like household name.
And then he got the MMA stuff.
And then the MMA stuff. And then his podcast. And he was like early on the podcast game. He was like doing it in like 06 when like podcasts first fucking hit.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, he was like one of the early. He wasn't like an A-list celebrity at the time, but one of the early celebrities that had like something of a household name doing a podcast. It was like him and Kevin Smith, basically.
Yeah, right.
And originally his show was like, especially with like the 2000s and like, you know, the politics of drug legalization was like much more of like, I don't know, it was like an edgier thing. I don't know. He was like hard on like the, like, yeah, DMT's rad. Let's do these sense deprivation tanks. And that's like what the show was about. And it was fucking dope and it was funny. And then he got on the moon landing shit in like 2010. And that was like when it all spiraled. That's then he started getting more political guests and like not pushing back against bad ideas because he's not a particularly smart guy who can sort out good and bad ideas, you know?
Right. But I think like that's like I'm socially liberal but fiscally conservative.
Like, yeah, I don't want any. I don't want to do anything to help people, but also like I'm not actively going to call you the N-word. That's what that means. I don't want to pay money to for taxes, but also like, yeah, I'm fine with the gays.
It's something like that. Yeah. But also it's just like he was ahead of the curve on a trope that is only a trope. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of that, like,
yeah, socially liberal, fiscally conservative is just like a thing you say because, like, I don't really think about politics and it just is going to end the conversation.
It's an easy answer.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, of course you are.
That's fine. Both sides are happy now.
Right.
And I don't got to get shit.
And it's just big tent promotion. You know what I'm saying? Which is all fine and dandy. And again, like, I don't give a fuck what your show is, dude. If people want to watch it, great.
Fine.
It's your show. You did it from fucking a microphone and your voice and a recorder, and you turn that into everything you've turned this into. Kudos, G. But like, yeah, he's out of his league on these topics.
Yeah, his platform is too big for a guy of his thing, and he's interested in these topics, but doesn't have the basis to actually like truly engage with them. So he just has these people on. He's like, oh, rad, bro.
But he's a purist in the sense of like.
And he's like a 55-year-old non-college educated dude from Jersey and Boston. Like, what do you think he's going to think?
It's not about who I'm letting talk. It's about how many people will listen.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, like I just said, he's a 55-year-old dude who grew up in Jersey and Boston and never went to college. Like, what do you think his worldview is going to be like? He's Joe Rogan. Like, of course, it's how he thinks. He could be a worse dude. He's not.
That's what I'm saying. You know? I'm not outrageously mad at Joe Rogan. No. I think the more people are.
You come off as kind of silly when you're mad at specifically
You're just promoting him.
Yeah,
and you're lionizing him to his supporters versus like. Treat him like Don Imus. Just let him get fucking irrelevant. Don Imus was as big as Joe Rogan in the greater scheme of things fucking 40 years ago or 30 years ago. And it's like
Howard Stern, but you know.
What's that?
Stern was way bigger than Imus.
Stern was way bigger than Rogan.
Yeah, true.
From a purely like American pop culture stance?
Yeah, you're right.
Rogan has a cult.
Yeah, Imus had a small... Yeah, that's a fair comparison.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, anyway, the point of the story is it too shall pass.
We just got to wait for Rogan to say something about black basketball team.
If you don't want to support Joe Rogan, keep his goddamn name out your mouth, which we should probably do. And we don't talk about Rogan very often, but...
He's in the culture and you're a comedian.
I'm happy to talk about Rogan. I'm just not like excited to.
I have my issues. Like I said, I have my issues with how Joe Rogan has conducted his podcast, but I'm more worried about the guests on his podcast than I am necessarily about Joe Rogan.
No doubt. He's given a big audience to a lot of whack people.
A lot of whack.
He's not drawn lines in the sand on a lot of whack ideas. Mm-hmm. And okay.
Yeah.
Then that's why I don't listen to him.
Yeah, it's like
all right. I've never listened to Rogan. Also because like I've never wanted to listen to a 3-hour podcast.
Yeah, no.
And I understand at this point it's like it's total like indoctrination. I mean, there's men out here. He's been on the air 15 years.
Yeah,
so there's 25-year-old men that have been listening to Joe Rogan since they are 10 years old. And they've absorbed more game from Joe Rogan than their own fathers, and certainly anybody else on planet Earth. I mean, people absorb ridiculous amounts of this content,
mm-hmm.
and have been their entire
formative lives.
That's right. Yeah. So it's like it or not, like that shit's here, bro.
Doc, there's 15-year-olds that have been listening to them since the womb.
Kind of. Maybe if their dad listens to that shit, right?
Yeah.
Second generation experience.
I would rather it be like my dad listened to Joe Rogan all the time in the car than my dad listened to Rush Limbaugh all the
time
in the car.
What are his fans called? Roganites?
I don't fucking care.
Do they have a name for
them? I don't fucking care. They're Joe Rogan fans. And the bros. They're called bros.
Is it all bros?
I'm sure there's women.
Oh, there's gotta be.
Yeah.
And then all the haters are clearly listening.
No, the haters see clips when they float into their social media feed.
Oh, it's not like, because that's one thing Stern said. He's like, I get more promotion from the people that hate me than the people that love me.
Yeah.
And the people who hate me listen longer than the people who supposedly love me.
I think because
looking for shit to be mad about.
Social media didn't exist back then. So not you had to do that. Now you can just wait for like the two people who actually do that and they can show you the bad clip.
No, I get it. You know. I get it. That makes sense. That makes total sense. And on that note, I hope somebody listens to us, finds some bad shit to dig out, and says we're assholes and blows us up. Please, hate on us. Or don't. Be one of our many loyal listeners who's been with this podcast since Jump, and we appreciate
you
guys.
Just so you're aware, Mika Brzezinski Gate happened on the episode with Jordan Coburn. We'll cut that one.
Yeah, dude, go ahead and dig up Brzezinski Gate, dude. Just don't fucking
follow it up with the apology 2 episodes later.
Yeah, don't. No, I apologize right when it happened, bro. No, I addressed it.
Your better one was the 2 weeks later. It was great.
Oh, I had a formal apology two weeks later.
You had like a really good like. Okay, yeah, this makes sense to me. Like it was good. We covered it.
Okay, great. Yeah, step to my rep. Bring the noise. This is another episode of Bad Libs. By the way, things are going to be changing soon. We're going to be phasing out the normal Bad Libs podcast so that we can focus all our attention on our political jukebox show that will be
relaunching
and really the focus of our productive energies together. Brendan's going to law school. I'm running Hemper's Comedy. And we want to make sure everything we do together is of highest quality. And we really have been itching to bring back Political Jukebox post-Trump.
Yes.
So we're going to have a sick lineup of people for Political Jukebox. Get ready for that. We got some more apps of Bad Libs coming. And thank you.
Thank you all for listening. You have a good week.
Peace.